Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening.
Ladies, gentlemen, I'm here with another episode of Multiple Voices, and with me is the lovely Shannon Lauren. Say hello, Shannon.
Hello, everybody.
To the audience. Shannon Lawrence is speaking to us from Colorado Springs in Colorado, and we were talking about Colorado right before I pressed record, and we'll bring part of that into our conversation. Who is she? Okay. This is one of my most interesting, episodes concerning writing. Why? Because those of you who know me know that I have a YouTube channel and we talk about all things spiritual, but it's 80%, I wouldn't say paranormal, but other normal. And so we do mediumship, we talk about spirits, so when I come up with a beautiful opportunity like this, and I'm not joking, Shannon, it's interesting to understand what the process is for you personally to get ideas into your books. And now I'm saying things about you. I didn't even introduce you. She's a horror short story and nonfiction author, as well as a true crime and paranormal podcaster. And of course, she's a mom and a wife, a hiker and a photographer. Let's start with your podcast. I see that it's called The Warrior Muse. Where did that name come from?
So The Warrior Muse is actually kind of my writing world. And then my podcast is Mysteries, Monsters, and Mayhem. But
Wait a minute. Say that again slow.
Mysteries, Monsters, and Mayhem.
Oh boy.
That way we get to cover anything that we find interesting.
It's the Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Okay. So how long have you had the podcast?
The podcast is relatively new. We're about a year and a half in now. So.
Good. How many episodes do you have out? Just to give you an idea.
Let me see. I think we're about to hit 70.
Okay. So is it once a week, twice a week? Once a week. Okay. All right. That sounds pretty right after a year and a half. Now, let's get down to the brass tacks. I read short stories. You only write short stories?
No, but that's been my focus because I just have so much fun with them and they pay off a little faster than, say, writing a novel.
Okay. All right. Now, tell us. How long are short stories? Is there a genre template, maximum number of words? Do you have rules that you have to go by?
So in general, short stories are going to be, depending on where you look, up to about 8,000 words. Each market is different. Okay. And by market, I mean, say, a magazine or a publisher that does anthologies. But typically we'll say about up to 8,000 words. And
that in number of pages, if we're reading them in hard copy?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably about...
Well, because I would say 15 pages. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
about okay. there. And of course, they can be much shorter than that. Basically, 1,000 to 8,000 would be that. Below 8,000, or sorry, below 1,000 is going to be flash fiction sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And that'll have its own rules. Some of those might be 100 words.
Flash fiction.
Yeah.
Hang on. Flash fiction, what is that?
That's a super short story, up to 1,000 words. Sometimes it'll be 100 words. But it's still got to be a full story.
That's flash all right.
Oh, yeah.
here you see it. Now you see it. Now you don't.
It's a great way to work your writing muscles, though, and learn how to put a story with a full arc, beginning, middle, end.
Yeah.
But get that in the simplest terms possible and still make it interesting. So.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back in time. You work with paranormal things. We're going back in time. Where were you in high school? Were you in Colorado Springs or elsewhere?
I was. I moved here when I was 12. So
oh.
I've been here the vast majority of my life at this point.
She's laughing.
But
is it still cold there? Has spring come?
You know, it's super sunny here. Here's the thing. So because it's so dry, we're so high altitude. Yeah. I live at 6,500 feet, and I don't remember how many meters that is.
That's okay. We get
okay.
that.
It's high.
Yeah.
It's higher than the mountains in the places I lived before. And the mountain that I can see from my front window, Pikes Peak, is over 14,000 feet. So.
Okay. So you have a very good perspective up there.
Yes.
Let's say that.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So because it is so dry and so high, if it's
high and dry,
yeah, it feels warm as long as there's sun down to a pretty low temperature. So we're pretty lucky. Uh-huh. Like we'll be walking around in, you know, a t-shirt and sweatpants or something in temperatures that would be really cold somewhere else.
I know. I have a very close friend who lives in Colorado, and just weeks ago, let's say a month ago, it was terrible there. I mean, it was so cold, snow everywhere, where in other parts of the United States there was no snow. That's tough. But anyway,
yeah.
We're not here to talk about the weather. So now we have sunny Colorado way up in the air. At 12 years old, you're just getting into high school?
At 12, I would have been in 14? Middle school for 2 more years.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. So you went to high school in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you? You couldn't wait to get out, or was that one of the best times of your life?
Well, okay, yeah, I couldn't wait to get out.
Most people.
Yeah, I went to our high school was on kind of a military base here. There's a lot of military bases in Colorado Springs and surrounding, to be clear. And so ours was on an Air Force Academy. And then our high school was there. Oh. You did not have to be Air Force to go there, because I wasn't.
Oh. So you were sort of an outcast almost, but there were other people who weren't part of the academy.
Most of them were not part of the academy life.
Okay.
My problem personally was that most of them were also well off financially and I wasn't.
I see.
So that was a problem here.
So that was sort of a social difference that you felt right away.
Oh, yeah.
That's very common in high school.
Yeah.
It's very common. All right. Now, did you get the seeds of your writing career in that period?
I definitely was
were you good
starting
in English creative?
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of... You were a nerd.
Well, no. I had a lot of teachers that were really great about encouraging my writing. Starting in...
Good for them.
Elementary school in those first...
Ooh.
Yeah. So I had some really great teachers.
Oh, that's fantastic. Amen. Not many people can say that. Okay. So now, let's say, jump forward a little bit. You're getting out. You're getting your high school degree. And were you one of those people that you knew what you wanted to do? You knew where you wanted to go?
Oh, sure. And I didn't do any of it. But boy, I knew what I was going to be, though.
Well, what was high on your list then?
I wanted to be a surgeon.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say an astronaut.
No. I wanted to be a surgeon. And then I got through high school in those years and went, boy, I don't want to do this for 8 more years. Or
Right. That's that.
It was about the schooling, really. I was like, I'm gonna do some other things.
But, you know, that's funny. It's funny that you mention medicine, mm-hmm. and it would have been, you know, something you could have. But then I ask, and I go right to the writing. You could have incorporated that in your writing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever? Oh.
Well, yeah, because that was an interest to me anyway. And I'm not a person who gets squeamish about, say, medical things or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
So, sure, there's been things that find their way in there that were just
give
things
us an
that
example.
I looked at.
Give us an example.
Well, this isn't about surgeons. The first thing that pops to mind, I wrote a story about, and it was a horror story, short story, about Siamese twins, where one of the twins dies before the other one. I know. But I got that because I found out the famous twins that gave the name Siamese, because they were, of course, now it'd be Thailand, but one of them died first. And I was absolutely horrified to think about the fact that one of them had to be alive while attached to this person that they'd obviously been so close to their whole lives. And what would that even be like? Yeah. Now, they were famous, so they weren't alone, you know, but in my story, the person is alone and experiencing it and trying to get help.
Mm-hmm. So there's you're making me think now, as you speak, a while ago, I can't remember what it was, but there will be the voice of horror in the series of my podcast, and I can't remember the name offhand, but it was a man who came in, and he was a horror expert, a historical horror expert. And so we got the background, the psychological background of why horror is so appealing, you know, the people who cover their eyes, but they can see through their eyes. And everybody loves that, you know, being on the edge of your seat and, oh my God, no, but they look. And so there is a huge appeal, a psychological appeal. But you mentioned paranormal and, you know, paranormal and horror are really two different genres and they're two different audiences almost. Do you just dabble from one to the other? Do you concentrate sometimes on one or then on the other?
Yeah, I go all over the place. I mean, it helps that that's just how I am as a person.
Call
too.
A spade. I go on
all over the place. It's because all sorts of things can inspire it. Just like that story I talked about was inspired because I happened to read about the famous Siamese twins and hear that detail, and that detail stuck with me. It's whatever sticks with me, you know? And it can be, I could be watching a movie or reading a book and have an idea spring from that, or a newspaper article or a news story, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's go now and talk, because you also do nonfiction, or you did nonfiction. What does your nonfiction consist of?
My nonfiction book was actually The Business of Short Stories. So because everybody's all about novels all the time, and I came up obviously in this career getting taught about that, but nobody was talking about short stories. And I love the form. I love the short form. I love the gratification, the immediate gratification from that. Because instead
of a piece of chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole process is just, it's fast. It's a roller coaster. It's up and down. And I wanted to make sure people knew that you can, there's other options. If you don't want to be a novelist, there's other things that you can do. And so I took what I've learned so far and put it in that book.
And what do you, where do these stories end up? Do you have, say, certain magazines, certain, or they change all the time? What is the market like?
The market, so specifically for horror and paranormal type things, the market's really good for short stories because it lends itself to that. You know, horror in a quick bite, you can keep the suspense going, versus in a novel where you're going to have to pull back from that suspense a lot more, right? The pacing's going to have to be different. So it really lends itself to horror. But I send out my stories to magazines and anthologies, and there's always plenty of them out there. another one that lends itself to that mystery. There's a lot of short story publications out there too.
And do you mind me asking, how is that genre, that size, paid for? By the word, by the length, by how is that?
It really varies. And that's one of the things when you're looking at getting into it. When you're looking at where to send your stories, you also need to consider how much you want to be paid for it and whether you'll take less than that. But some of it's by word, and there's what's called pro pay, which will be usually 5 cents a word or over. And then before that is semi-pro. And then under that is token, which will be, say, we'll pay you $5 for a whole story, or we'll pay you $50 for a whole story. Oh. It can vary.
Okay. So anything like 8,000 words, if it's, say, 5 cents a word, what does that look like? $400?
So if it's 8 cents a word, let's see. I could do that right now.
I was trying to have an 8,000 word zeros. Story.
It's $640. So, okay. Yeah. And I would say
$640.
Most markets are not paying at that. For example, that's if it was 8 cents a word. Sorry. But most markets aren't paying pro, but there are some that are.
Well,
you will not get rich off of it. I'll say that right now.
Well, look, I'm an academic.
Yeah.
All of my essays and books never earned that much. But the books I wrote initially, just like many books, the first year is good. The second, you know, you don't get a vacation out of it. But the academic world is different. They have different, you know, scopes and things. Now, let's get to the paranormal, because I'm going to argue with you now, Shannon. Get ready for that.
Okay. Come at me.
All right. So so you said that the horror is excellent because for a short story, you get that instant, you can keep people on the seat of their chair for a long time. But as you were talking, I'm thinking, the paranormal, you really have to build up a story for that paranormal skill or type. And maybe I want you to prove me wrong. I want to know, how is it for you?
For in terms of building up
paranormal
suspense?
Stories. No, how do you, are you able to create a short story with a paranormal theme? Is it a thriller or a romance, paranormal?
Oh, absolutely. What, you can do that with any of those. And different things are going to feel different. So example, if I'm writing a story with a monster in it versus a story with a ghost in it versus a story where it's all psychological, like waking up with a dead twin attached to you, you know, it runs the gamut. And of course, the mood is going to be different and the buildup is going to be different. There's not a lot of action if you're attached to somebody who's dead because you can't move.
Yeah.
And so, it's mentally all what you're trying to do is get the person, your reader, engaged. So if paranormal, you do want to build that up. You don't want to walk in and a ghost is in your face in the first page. Right.
Right. Look, tell us some stories. The paranormal short story. Can you tell us a little bit of a few stories that they're like your children, you're their babies because you really like them more than others. Can you give us, say, the thread, how it evolves? What was paranormal about it?
Let's see. So in terms of paranormal, this one, I have one that, for example, there's a mountain city that's pretty touristy and it's called Estes Park here in Colorado. And there is already an urban legend. There's lore about it, about something called the Blue Mist.
Ah.
And it was said to creep in the mountains and it's been around for ages and ages and ages. And so I'm reading about it and I'm looking for it. And there's nothing about what is so scary about this blue mist, just this blue mist creeps. And so that was one of my earliest stories I got published. And it was fun to write and just fun to imagine, because I was like, okay, well then what's so scary about it? Let's figure that out. So I said it, I had this crazy prospector in the mountains, and he knows about the blue mist, and his job basically is to clean up after it.
Okay.
Is how we set that. And it's just, it's an entity, and he's going out and he's cleaning up. The morning we start with him listening to a family who didn't listen to him and went camping, and he's listening to them dying.
You mean he hear voices?
Yeah.
He's hearing
them screaming. Okay. And you know, okay, he's able to pick out who's being taken out when and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And so then he goes out the next day to clean that up. But unfortunately, a mist starts creeping in while he's out there. So he's out in the middle of it, and it's haunting him basically with the voices of people that he's had to clean up in the past. He's hearing these people that have died in this mist, and he has to get back to his house, his cabin, to be safe from this mist. And so in it, it's just the experience of this entity, right? But it's wrapped in the mist, and he only sees something once that's physical.
What did he see?
It's one of the children. It's one of the children. So
one of the voices.
Yes.
That he heard.
Yeah. But it's taking this child form to bring him in, because this is him learning now, because he's never gotten caught in the mist before, what it is that pulls these people and gets it so that they can be drawn into the mist.
Okay. So, but I don't want to cut you off, but it begs the question, how does it end? I mean, how do they all end? Is it that you really see the end coming? Does it end with an open ending where you're not exactly sure what happened? Or does it end with, oh my God, everybody lived happily ever after and he was saved? Or the poor guy dies in the mist? You know, how many endings could you
so offer many
up?
And that's the I will say, rarely is it a happy ending in horror. There's a survivor. There might be a survivor, and in this he lives, but for him it's not really a happy ending. He lives, but it's to go on with this inevitable cycle of nobody believing him about what's in the mist, and him continuing to have to hear these people die over and over and over again and clean up after it.
Okay, so that's how it ends.
Yes.
The poor guy,
yeah,
his life, and yeah, okay.
Yeah, so. All
right. Have you ever found that you write, say, series of short stories?
No, I only have done that with my mysteries, where it's the same character who comes back. I haven't really done that with horror so far.
But the mysteries, are they paranormal mysteries or just mysteries?
Just weird mysteries. I tend
to do with paranormal.
No, nothing to do with paranormal. So I haven't continued a paranormal story.
Interesting. No, I'm looking at you and wondering, you know, how you try to see the wheels that turn in somebody's head and figure, well, where is she going next? And what is she going to do now? You know, because, and so I'll ask you, all right, we hang up, right? We're going to hang up. The interview ends. And in Colorado, what time is it? It's
12:30.
Right, 12:30. So you have the whole day, really. And how do you organize your day for writing? Do you set certain time slots aside? Are you disciplined?
No.
I love
you. I'm definitely not disciplined. But I call myself a sprint writer because I can get a lot of words on paper because there's always things in your head.
I'm sure
even as a nonfiction writer, you're still thinking through
of course
what you're going to write about. And that's going through your head and it gets processed a lot. That's happening with me all the time. And by the time I can sit down, then it's like, all right, which one am I going to sit down and work on right now? Which one is drawing me the most? But no, I don't have a definite time. I don't necessarily write every day. I might write just a lot in a few days and then go a certain period of time.
Right. go up on the mountain.
Yeah.
You know, you said you just, you never stop thinking, you, mm-hmm. and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. It made me think of your experience as that book, the nonfiction, mm-hmm. and writers, we know that, oh, this could be said better, and you just keep revising. It's so hard to just end it. With short stories, I imagine that's different. The baby comes out faster. Is
yeah,
that right?
It does. It does. So it does. As long as, for example, I don't plot, so it's boom, it's just going to come out on the paper, or it's not.
Mm-hmm. So you may wake up and think of the storyline, but then it takes a life of its own. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I don't usually go in knowing how it's going to end, for example, or even okay. what I'm going to come
how long?
Up with.
How long does it take you to write, say, those 8,000 words? Can you get that done in a day? If you're,
I have written a story, say I went for a walk one time, had some mm-hmm. guy freak me out because I go for late night walks and he just happened mm-hmm. to loom up off of his lawn where he must've been messing with a sprinkler or something, but in the middle of the night, somebody looming up, that's freaky.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I came home from that walk and knocked out what probably turned out to be, I'd say like a 5,000 word story that night before uh-huh. I went to bed. So that was mm-hmm. a matter of hours, but that was me just focused and uh-huh. going, right. But it can take right. days.
So, yeah, sure. Sure. And the revising process is just so grueling, but the way you talk, it sounds like there's very little revision in the process that you use, that when you have the story, it just goes down as if you have the right register for the words and all of that. Mm-hmm. Is that the case, or do you find yourself revising some of those stories?
I will revise them some, because there's going to be something where I read back through and I'm like, this could be worded better, this could be I didn't connect these two things, maybe, or I was going somewhere completely different and then took a U-turn, so then you have to fix that. But I usually will set it aside for a while, for like at least a week, before I revise a short story, because that's the thing about a short story is it's all still in your head. And so it's easy to miss mistakes that you've made, because your brain will fill it in.
Uh-huh.
So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So let's say, have you ever thought of writing erotica?
Oh, I've considered it. There's good money in that.
Short story.
Yes. Yeah.
What about using, because what I don't like about today, the paranormal genre, romance or thriller, is that it's just overpopulated with shapeshifters. And I hate that. But there are other authors who are really, really interesting in the way they bring in the paranormal. In your case, I was thinking, have you ever thought of using, go full-blown paranormal, aliens?
With aliens, I have one story out there that has aliens in it. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I try it.
And how was that? I mean, was it just an abduction?
Oh, no. I don't know how far Chuck E. Cheese has gotten, but there's a kid's restaurant and play place, basically, with video games and little rides and stuff like that, called Chuck E. Cheese. It's all over the place. And I set it in a place like that. It's not Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. You can't do that. Yeah. And it's basically inside, the people experiencing this don't see the aliens, but what they do is they take over the children.
Okay.
And that goes very bad. But it was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek horror comedy.
Oh. How was that received?
Good. It got published at the place I wrote it for. So, yeah.
As long as they paid you.
Yes. It was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. And so what about the future? Can you see yourself going somewhere else with your writing, a different genre?
Probably. I try and write a lot of things, so I have gotten stuff. While I'm kind of known and branded as a horror author, I've had memoir published. I've had a straight.
Yours?
Yeah.
Or someone
else?
Yeah,
but it was just a little snippet. So this was a short story. So it was just one experience of mine. So that was published. But yeah, I've written crime and mystery that's been published and humor and a little bit of sci-fi. So I try and go all over the place. Not really romance at this point in time, but who knows in the future. Are you aware there's horror erotica? That there's a whole line? Yeah. Like I was like, yeah. I could branch doing that just to.
Yeah. Well, that's why I ask, because I know that that's a niche, you know. It's not my cup of tea, but I'm really in the paranormal. I think it, just last week I had a guest on who is a forensic psychologist. And she was talking about how the TV series, novels, and a lot of media just don't get it right.
Oh, I bet.
They don't get it right. For example, one example was they were in a prison. She had worked in quite a number of prisons. And the investigator found out something, and then he picks up his mobile and starts talking to his chief or whatever. And she said, you can't have a mobile in a prison. No one does. So why do they put it in the series? You know, so this, it was interesting because she is also asked to be a consultant for certain things like that. And I was wondering if you had ever yourself gone to professionals or consultants that could give you some idea of how things work in the paranormal, in investigations, in homicide or stuff like that, because you work with true crime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I also have two siblings who are cops, for example, and a third one at the end of this month. And not a direction I was ever going to go, but that's three of my my four siblings. So I can talk to them. And the writing community is such that there's people from all fields. I have a friend who was one of the original FBI profilers. He went through the first class and became one. So I can talk to him about FBI profiling, which is another thing people get terribly wrong, right? At the TV show Criminal Minds. He hate watches with his wife.
Yeah, talking about that.
Yeah. His wife loves the show and makes him watch it. And he's just like, we didn't have a jet.
Yeah, right.
So they didn't have that kind of funding. They had a ridiculous, So stuff like that, we do a lot. And especially, that's one of the reasons I tend to go to mystery writers meetings, because they'll bring in all manner of, they'll bring in a forensic psychologist, for example. I went and listened to one of those give a workshop on what writers needed to know. And, you know, a good writer is going to reach out to the experts and say, hey, can I ask you some questions?
Yes.
Or can I get you to read this and tell me, where is this not realistic? So
a mystery writer's workshop, is this an ongoing meeting, say once a month, this group meets?
Yes. Something and like there's that? A couple that do. But then there's also writers conferences. I got to,
of course,
we had ghost hunters come to one of the writers conferences, and at that night we could go and do a ghost hunt with this group. So we do stuff like that too.
Now that's nice.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So we get to hear, here's what we use for this. And here's this meter, you know, here's this monitor that we use. Yeah. So that's fun too.
Yeah. Well, we could go on and on. I mean, I might have so many questions. I don't want to keep you, but this is a really good idea of the type of work that you do, because I've not met many people, many writers that just work with short stories, whatever the genre.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's not common.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Shannon. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.